Welcome to a new episode of The Brand Called You. Today I have someone who I think I can define as one of the doyens of the publishing business in digital media. Pradeep Gupta, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Pradeep, or PG as he's known, is from IIT Delhi. He's from IIM Calcutta. He's the chairman of the Cyber Media Group. And, I'm fascinated to find he publishes magazines like Data Quest, PC Quest, Voice and Data, that I've been reading forever. PG is implementing India's first electropreneur park. He's an angel investor, and of course, he's been recognized and awarded globally. PG, what an amazing journey.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about your early career, some of your learnings, and some of your challenges.
Okay, so, when I started off in the field of information technology, it was brand new. And very accidentally, I have some professors to thank for it, mm-hmm. Got into computers. Joined IIT in 1970. Those were the early days of computing. In our second year, one of our professors put up a notice board saying that he wants to select a few students based on an IQ test. Mm-hmm. And then after that, no credits, no nothing. But he said that I will spend time with them and teach them computers.
I see.
So about 10 of us got selected, 4 dropped out, 6 of us continued with him in a real Guru Shishya tradition. He used to invite us to his house, teach us computers and so on. So that was my early initiation into computers.
And just for, I'm the same vintage as you, and I used to be with ITC in, when the first computers came. So for our young listeners, I'm sure you will remember that in those days when you went into the computer room, you had to cover your head and wear something on top of your shoes.
You had to take off your shoes and so on. It was like entering into a temple.
Sorry to interrupt. Okay.
Giant machines.
And cards.
There were no discs. So that is the time I'm talking about.
I agree.
Then I went to IMCAL and further regressed, because IMCAL had just shifted into the new campus, mm-hmm. and therefore they did not have any computer.
Wow.
They actually had those unit record machines where you had to hardwire the panels by actually connecting wires.
Incredible.
So, moved there. But again, I had a wonderful professor who sort of, said that let's do systems analysis and design. And that's how I got initiated into computers. Mm. And then what happened was that post IIM, when I was looking for a job, unlike the traditional thing which used to happen during that time, that you joined a corporate company, I did not walk that path.
Okay.
And instead of that, I joined a startup.
Okay.
See, these days, joining a startup is the done thing.
Yeah.
But, during those days...
Challenging and tough.
Yeah.
First, to convince family. Because in those days, family had much stronger influence.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the startup that I joined was HCL.
Hmm. Okay.
Which is now, of course, a
behemoth.
Multi-billion
dollar
company. But, that is the time when I joined them. They had just started. We were the first batch of management... trainees to join HCL, worked with them for 3 years. I think that working very closely with a small group of really driven people, that ignited the passion of entrepreneurship in me. And so I left them after 3 years, and I've been an entrepreneur since
Wow.
then.
So what happened when you started your first magazine? Was it Data Quest?
That's right. Data Quest was the first magazine. Actually, when I left HCL in 80, I did not start with the magazine.
Okay.
I started with a software company.
Okay.
And a year after that, and there is another interesting story how this idea came.
Hmm.
I was a bachelor.
Yeah.
We used to have one of these... Addas where a few of us friends would all get together and, discuss about how to solve the world's problems.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, one day we were having that adda, and there was this girl who used to work with UNICEF, and she started talking about, you know, animal husbandry and how this entire productivity of rural India is so bad and stuff like that, and said that, look, you know, we should come out with a newsletter on this subject, on livestock. And so, yeah, you know, I, being the engineer MBA there, actually did a back of the envelope calculation that how much will it cost and so on. And after that, I said that, look, guys, I don't know much about livestocks, but all I know is computers is an emerging area. It's a fascinating area. There's very little information which is known about them, and therefore, I think, you know, I can start a newsletter in
Fantastic.
computers.
Fantastic.
So they said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea, and that's what resulted into DataQuest
Amazing.
about 6 8 months down the line.
So, you know, in 1983, when I was in ITC and transferred to Calcutta, I was sent in as the divisional financial controller of the information systems division. And one of the first perks I was given was a subscription to DataQuest. So I must say it's an honor to meet the founder of DataQuest today. So,
ITC Hari
Padmanabhan, he was my boss. He was my boss in
okay.
83. Yeah.
Right.
Small world.
Small
I
word.
agree. So, you know, coming back to cyber media, the group, you have seen media evolve and change over the last 30, 35 years. From print, which I'm sure is still there, to digital, to now probably going on to tiny little devices. What is your perspective on how this has changed?
So there's been a tremendous change that has taken place in the entire media model, and especially in the last 15 years, I would say. You know, some of the big changes that have happened are that in the earlier traditional media, you would prepare, there were distribution channels through which you would reach out to various people, whether it was print, whether it was television. It was the same sort of a model which was there, that you worked in terms of identifying a community, then ensuring that your product reached that particular community. So that was, and of course, the advertiser wanted to reach that community and therefore would pay you. This entire thing has changed because digital media means that the user has a choice, and it's an instantaneous choice, so in the traditional media, if I wanted to shift from one to another, it would take me some time. Here, it's instantaneous choice which is there. Brand loyalties are lower as compared to what they were in the traditional media business. From the advertiser's point of view, also the communication is different. So, you know, in the traditional market, if there was, let's say, a 90-day campaign, you ran one ad and then you blasted it for 90 days. In digital media, you need to come up with 90 campaigns and all of them will last one day.
One day, I agree.
Right?
I agree.
So it's a very different way of looking at communities, communicating with communities. You know, the form of content also is
It's
much
changing.
short form, because people now have less
So, in fact,
time.
I was going to ask you this question. I'm glad you've spoken about it. That, you know, now every article that I read has time written on the top right corner, 3 minute read, 5 minute read. Why? What is happening? Is it attention span is lesser, or is it one way to say, hey, this is a small article, you can read it? What is the need to tell a reader that this is only, you only spend 3 minutes on this?
Yeah, so you know, the users, the consumers of the content, the attention span has definitely reduced. So the consumers of the content want very quick
Instant
information and
gratification.
instant gratification. So, you know, gone are the days where there would be very well researched, beautifully in-depth articles that you would read and enjoy along with the reader. Now you need everything like
instant. I agree. So let's move on to your other initiative. You know, you are implementing India's first electropreneur park. Help me understand, what is electropreneur park?
Okay. So, you know, electropreneur park is basically an incubator.
Okay.
But for electronics startup.
I see.
So for ESDM startup.
For manufacture.
Yes. Okay. So, you know, you know, we looked at the entire space, that there are large number of incubators that are available in India. But the real challenge was that how do you differentiate and how do you ensure that there is some kind of some sort of facilities available so that a certain kind of incubation can be done. So in Electropreneur Park, for example, there was a very serious level of investment which was done in building up a lab. Okay. So there's a state-of-art lab with all varieties of monitoring equipment, with all variety of signals, generators, and so on, with IoT kind of stuff, and so on. So that actually somebody who has an electronic device can go there, can test their products, can... you know, work out what needs to be done in terms
and also of start manufacturing
project and commercial, yes, and manufacture that project as well. So 3D printers and stuff like that.
Interesting. So, you know, Pradeep, one more question on Cybermedia before I move to the next segment. How many brands do you have as a part of the group?
So, a lot of those brands are now purely online, but DataQuest, PCQuest, Voice and Data, DQ Weeks, DQ Channels, Dare, BioSpectrum.
That's a big, big
Global Services. So yeah, it would be about 15, 16 brands that we would have.
That's quite a bit. Covering the entire spectrum of digital.
Digital in terms of... then we moved into entrepreneurship as well. We moved into biotechnology and so on. So, okay.
So let's move on to the next part of your multiple avatars, and that's in your avatar as an angel investor or as someone who has been associated with the Indian Angel Network, IVCAP, Infinity Ventures. What are some of the key metrics you look for before you consider an angel investment?
Okay, so so let me take a step back. So I got into entrepreneurship primarily as a passion.
Correct.
Okay. We used to go to Silicon Valley, and you know, that is the time when Indians were beginning to do very well there. Thai was getting formed and so on. We used to go every year to ThaiCon. And after about 5-6 years of attending them every year, we felt that why should we not come to India and do the same thing here? Because in India also, entrepreneurs needed a lot of hand-holding, needed
guidance,
mentorship, and so on. And therefore, I was amongst that initial group of people which set up TAI here in India. And then subsequently became the president of TAI Delhi, and I'm the global trustee of TAI, and so on. We also at that time felt that, you know, there were lots of businesses which needed some little bit of capital, and that capital was not available.
Correct.
During those days, I'm talking of late 90s, you know, you had VCs, some VCs had started coming up, but most of these VCs at that time used to look at $1 to $2 million. But in that $500,000 kind of a space, nobody was there. You know, so we said that, can we do some angel investing? And that's how Infinity Ventures was formed, where 15 of us put together 50 lakhs each. And then we went in for other investors, created a fund of 150 crores, which was a very large sum at that time. And we invested it in about 25-odd companies. And out of those 25 companies, we did have some great successes. Our greatest one was India Bulls.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Then after that, we had India Games, Avendus. So, you know, a number of
big names now.
Good successes came out of that. But what we found was that in the fund structure, you know, there was always a pressure of that you, there's a time pressure because any fund means that 5 to 7 years you have to show results. So either you're in an investing phase or you're in an exit phase or you're in a fundraising stage. But angel investment requires regular inflow of money coming in. Yeah. And so we created Indian Angel Networks. A few of us got together and we said that, you know, it's a good idea to create this Indian Angel Network, which works more like a club. So the secretariat looks at the various deals, shortlists, presents it to the angels. Somebody from the angels then says that, yeah, this looks interesting, has detailed discussions with the
secretariat,
with the entrepreneur, and then after that becomes the lead, as it were, for that particular project. And based upon the lead's recommendations, you know, from that club of investors, people decide whether they want to invest or not, and that's how investments happen.
Very interesting.
So, very interesting.
You know, it's been a very you know, with all the angel investments that have been done where you have been associated, how much do angel investors get involved with the governance of the company?
So, the lead does. You know, the way we have created the IAM structure is that we obviously, if there are, let's say, 30 investors which have pulled in their money, we don't want 30 people breathing down the neck of the entrepreneur. So it is the lead which does that particular role. But he knows that he has all these 30 people who may be experts in different areas to call on as and when required. Then the lead ensures that there is proper governance that is done because the lead will typically sit on the board. And then we have investor calls every quarter. And we have a format that we have made in which, you know, whether all compliances are there, etc., etc. They have complete checklist. The investee company has to put together that. And that's how we ensure that there should be proper corporate governance.
Interesting. So let me move on and now ask you some questions in your avatar as a startup mentor, guru, because you must have seen so many of them. First question would be, do you think a startup entrepreneur should go solo or should he or she have a partner or a set of partners?
Okay, so...
And I get many different responses, which is why I'm asking you this question.
Okay, so first and foremost, let me give a qualifying statement to all the questions that you may have in this area. See, entrepreneurship is all about breaking rules.
Correct.
Okay. So therefore, whatever rules, whatever axioms are there, there are always stories against that.
Correct. Okay. I'm with you. Completely agree.
All right. So there will be different paths that people have taken. But by and large, if you look at the mode, then there are some combinations, etc., which have worked. So, you know, with that rider, let me answer your questions. So, yeah, typically it should be 2 to 3
partners.
You know, that is a good group. And preferably people with differing skills.
Correct.
So somebody who is more of a tech person, somebody who is more of a marketing person, somebody who is more of a money person. That's the best sort of a combination that can be available.
Wonderful. And a follow-up question to that would be that, again, based on your experience, what are some of the mistakes a lot of startup entrepreneurs make?
Lots.
Some that come to your mind immediately?
So yeah, some of the biggest mistakes that people make is that get stuck to a certain idea. You know, markets keep on evolving, changing, and therefore should be, an entrepreneur should be willing to pivot as and when required. Sometimes there's a problem of too little money or too much money. So that's also been a result of problems that startups have faced. There are problems that have come up because of, you know, the initial group that starts. After some times, they find that they are not able to you know, drive it in the same direction.
Very interesting.
So those are some of the...
No, very interesting insights. Very interesting insights. So another question that I would love to ask you, just again, so much you have seen. And this question relates to failure. The Indian mindset somehow does not lend itself to failure. We were taught by my parents, we teach our children, you have to be first. You have to win. Either it's because of our mindset or because of the sheer numbers we have. And yet we know that 9 out of 10 startups don't make it. Now, in Silicon Valley, where you have spent time, a failure is celebrated. In India, it is frowned upon, or maybe it's changing now. What is your thought on failure and educating startups on the need for failure?
Yeah, so it is changing in India. So fear of failure was a big sort of a thing. By the way, I would not say that in the Silicon Valley, failure was celebrated.
Okay.
I mean, people would understand that you have failed, but that would...
Understand.
Sure. And people would move on to another thing and a third thing and so on. But yes, in India, you know, the entire, I would say, middle class mindset was that failure is a...
It's not a good thing.
Right. It's not a good thing. But that is changing now. I have come across startups who very proudly say, I'm on my third startup, you know, tried this, did not work, and so on. And people do understand that, you know, there are different approaches to life. You know, another change that I'm finding is that, you know, immediately after your education, you had to get into a job.
Correct.
You know, gap years were unheard of during our time.
I know.
Today, children happily would take do it, that. Yeah. And you understand why they are doing it. And when I'm interviewing a person, the fact that somebody took a break for 1 year and didn't do anything is no longer a negative mark on that person. So there is a change that is taking place.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. So a few questions for you personally.
Yeah.
And before that, I must ask you this question, that you received the Helen Keller Award for working in the disability sector. Tell me a little bit about this award.
So there was this person I met, Javed Abidi, who is really speaking the founder of disability movement in India.
Okay.
So he came over to my office through a common friend. And when he came, that is the time when I realized that, you know, my office was not accessible. I never thought of it. I actually did have people who were disabled working in the organization because one never really gave it a thought. But... You know, my HR policy, for example, said that the day you join, you should be of a physical and mental, you know, you should be of
sound mental health.
Sound mental health and sound physical
standard
health.
Standard and all standard.
So I was actually discriminating without realizing it. And so, you know, I started this entire process of sensitizing the information technology industry. And we did roundtables in Delhi, in Bangalore. The chief ministers of both the cities, of both the states came. We put together a whole lot of CEOs in a room. And we started this entire process of sensitization. Then in our magazines, we ran 1 year where we kept on talking about, you know, technologies for the disabled, what were the issues and stuff like that. And I think a lot of the sensitization and a lot of steps that the IT industry has taken in becoming equal opportunity employers for the disabled as well has actually stemmed from some of those initiatives that Cyber Media did. I'm talking about the late 90s when we did these initiatives.
That was quite visionary.
And that is why I got the Helen Keller Award.
Congratulations again.
Thank you.
So I have time for two more questions. And one stems from my earlier question on failure. Because a lot of people who see our podcast and videocast somehow believe that successful people don't fail. And therefore, my question to you is, what have been your learnings from some of your failures?
No, so a tremendous amount of learning from our failures. We had a very, very tough time when the last recession happened. Mm-hmm. That was a time when we had made significant investments in the US. And all those investments came under huge amount of pressure. So we had to scale down, we had to reorganize the entire company and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, failure is something that will happen for companies. You know, your product may fail, you may have some subsidiary that may fail and stuff like that. And obviously, you know, when such a situation happens, you need to sort of, you know, go back to the drawing board. You need to sit, work out an action plan.
And start all over again.
Start all over again.
Correct.
And move on.
So, Pradeep, my last question to you. For all the young people who are now watching us and hearing you speak and want to become entrepreneurs, any advice to the young person, male, female, who's starting a new life journey as they are beginning to configure their thoughts for a start?
Just do it.
Just do it. Wonderful. So, Pradeep, thank you very much. It's been absolutely incredible speaking to you, and I've learned a lot of new things from you. Good luck to you and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.